last week I wasn't here, and I had sort of gone off, I went to Wales. I was going to say I take part in a race, but perhaps I should say I take part in an event. And I did it 3 years ago. It's a triathlon. It's just under 2 kilometer swim, and what else is it? 60 miles on the bike. That's 90 kilometers, I think. And then it's a 20 kilometer run, or 13 mile, a hilly, lumpy course. And each time, I did it the first time, and my sister and brother came and saw me, and I said at the end of it, oh, I don't think I'll do that again. Then I did it the next year, and I've done it the following year, and I'm trying to work out how I cannot do it. But it's nice for various reasons, not the race itself, but I go to Wales, I see my brother and sister who still live there, and I get to sort of have a little chat with them, and then I go and visit my old church. And like, so I was there last week, sort of there's a little connection where you're perhaps having a little visit here, so welcome. And I go there, and there's about six of us in this little church, so it's even smaller than us. And I get to see some of the faces that I've known for years, and it's like an annual event. And, it's a strange little church because there's about, it's all men and one female at that when I was there. You know, it's just all blokes, about six blokes and a lady or something like that. I didn't count the numbers. And then afterwards, I was talking to one of the men there. And, that song reminded me of, he was telling me about his life. He was saying, because I knew him when he became a Christian way back when I was perhaps in my teens or 20s, whatever. And he became a Christian and used to get up and, say, they used to have this youth type meeting and they'd all get up and share a bit of whatever they could of like testimony time. And I remember him. And then over the years, I've noticed that he kind of dropped off. And now I've been going to that church, I've noticed that he's back again. And there's been, and he was telling me, he said, you know, Dave, I know the truth. And we talk about my dad and things like that, because he knew him. But he said, do you know, for 20 or 25 years, I've chased after business, money or whatever. It's not a bad thing what he did, he just had a business. But in a sense, what he was saying is he neglected God for those 25 years. It wasn't a wrong thing he did. There's nothing wrong with business. So in a sense, he didn't do a wrong thing. But what he was saying is he had neglected the Lord for 20, 25 years. And he said he was carried out of his, I have to sort of double check with him, but something like this. He was carried out of his business in an ambulance. And somewhere along the way, I think he had found he had cancer. And he said that was a sobering wake-up call. And he's turned back to the Lord and realized he'd got his priorities wrong. He was chasing something that was meaningless and had neglected something that has eternal value. And I'm going to today, when I find my page, I just wanted to go through a psalm. And I'm going to pick out various things in this psalm. So I'd like to look at Psalm 107. I'm reading my way through, and I've got to the psalms, and there's a lot of them. There's a lot of psalms, and there's some very interesting ones. But when I got to this one, I look at some and I think, wow. And when I read the Psalms, if you read the Psalms, look for Jesus in the Psalms. It was written hundreds of years before Jesus, or they were. But if you look, you notice that Jesus pops up. Well, it's not the word Jesus, but they talk about him. And the preachers of the New Testament, the apostles, that's what they would have preached on, plus other books, but they would have picked up the Psalms and said, let me tell you about the Messiah. Anyway, but what I'm going to be looking at is Psalm 107. And there's something of that testimony that I've just said in this psalm. And it goes like this. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. So many of the psalms kind of start a bit like that, or praise the Lord or something like that. His love endures forever. So this is someone who is writing about God's love way back there. God's love. We take it for granted sometimes, but many people had a God that wasn't a God of love. It was a God of retribution or a God of something else, but his love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this. And I think about the word redeemed. So this is the redeemed. He's what this writer is writing about. He's writing about what the writer is thinking. He's writing about like Israel and that kind of thing. But there's a bigger picture, isn't there? When we look at it, if I just said that to you, the redeemed of the Lord, who are the redeemed of the Lord? I hope we'd hear would say we are the redeemed of the Lord. The word redeemed is bought back, recovered by expenditure or whatever. You know, if you went and you wanted to borrow something, you might give something to, you know, like a ring. You might say, look, I'll give you that ring if I can just borrow that money for a bit, and then I'll swap you it back later. And then later on, they'd come and give you the money and you'd swap the ring back. So you'd redeem your ring back. See, that's how some things work. And we are the redeemed of the Lord. And so as I look through this psalm, I'm just going to read it and just pick out little bits. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe. And when we say foe, it's the enemy. In those times, it could have been a physical army. But for us, who is the foe that we've been redeemed back from? Well, I've put Satan, death, ideologies, philosophies. These are the kind of things that take hold of us, that capture us. These are the things that take our mind, just the kind of way we think. Satan, the enemy, they're the things that Jesus, well, I didn't mention Jesus, has redeemed us. And then it says in this book, let me carry on. Those he gathered from the lands, from the east and west, from the north and the south. So there's a bigger picture than just Israel, isn't there? There's a gathering of the nations of the world. There's people that he's going to redeem from all over the world. And then he goes on to talk about the kind of people who are redeemed. And what I'd like us to think, and I read through these bits, think about your own self. These are pictures now of the redeemed. And we are in that redeemed. And we'll know people that perhaps are in these situations, and we may identify with some of these situations. So I'm going to go through this psalm. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city. And so this would be like a physical picture, but as we look at wandered in a desert wasteland, what do we see there? We see someone who's lost. How would you picture it? You're in a desert and you haven't got a map. You haven't got a sat nav. You're wandering. It's a horrible place to be when you're lost. You're thirsty. You're hungry. There's no shelter. You're suffering from exposure. Maybe hypothermia if it's a cold wasteland. You're frightened. There's a hopelessness if you're lost. And when Jesus came, he spoke, come unto me and I will give you water. See, he's talking to the people who were lost up here. This is talking of lost people perhaps wandering out. But there's many people who are lost up here. Desert wasteland, suffering exposure. in their minds. Some wandered in desert wasteland, finding no way to a city. A city is a place of safety, a place of food, a place of comfort, a place of rest, where they could settle. It's a place of hope. And you know, the Bible talks of the church being a city, you know, sometimes. And it's a place of safety when we come into his place. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. I think that's the title of this talk. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them, saved them, rescued them, redeemed them. You put the word in there when they're in that difficult, don't you do it? Too long, just put, he rescued them. That's probably the title, because it crops up. When they were in that distressed place, they cried out to the Lord. And so those are people, perhaps, who are confused and lost, wandering in a desert place. I mean, do you know anyone who's in that place? He delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straightway, a shortcut. Not a Dave shortcut. I did a Dave shortcut last night. I ended up from the party. I said, I know where we're going. I drove. I ended up in Turner's Hill. Never mind. It wasn't a Dave shortcut. He led them a straight way. And I tell you what, if you're lost and you think, and someone said, look, you'll be home in just cut through that path there and you'll be back. It's a lovely feeling just to have a quick shortcut home. And here's people lost in the desert, and they say, look, there's a little pass through there. You go through there and you found a town. You're like, I'm hungry, tired. And what you say, how far? Oh, it's just half a mile walk. Well, that might sound like a lot, but if you were lost in the desert, that's not far, is it? A shortcut, a real shortcut, led them straight away to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men, for he satisfies the thirsty. And this is where Jesus came into. He said, come unto me and I'll give you drink. I'll give you water that lasts. Satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Good things. Not just anything, good things. Now here's the next group of people. Some sat in darkness and the deepest gloom. A different sort of picture now. Here's another group of lost people or despairing people. And perhaps it's talking of prisoners mainly here. Prisoners. So what things... that's where that song, you know. Things... Oh no. Sometimes things get hold of us and we become prisoners of situations. People are imprisoned in situations. They are imprisoned with their mind's thoughts. They don't think they can get from there. They're stuck. So it goes in. Some sat in darkest and deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains. They can't. There's no freedom. They can't. They've lost their will to do something. They're chained up. They're in a place of despair, of no choice, feeling hopeless, feeling there's no future, hopelessness, loneliness, you know, in a dark, lonely place, there's loneliness, despair, boredom, they're bored, you know, in a dark place, I think they're bored, they're captive, they've got no choice, their will is broken, you know, their will is broken, they've got no freedom. Maybe it's a place of rebellion, futility. You know, what's it all about? There's no point. They're in that sort of place. Some sat in darkness, yeah. Prisoners suffering in iron chains. For they had rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Sometimes people rebel and they rebel deliberately, and others rebel without realizing they're rebelling. But they find themselves captive to a situation, and lost, and they don't realize how they've got there, and it's because they've rebelled against God. They say there's no God, but I'm in a place of despair. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. It's lovely, isn't it? And he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the deepest gloom. This is what the work of Christ. This is what he does for us. It's a lovely thing, isn't it? Christ brings us out of this dark place. He brought them out of darkness and the deepest gloom and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love. And that's what we've been doing this morning, and we shall be doing this morning, is giving thanks for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. For he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. So he breaks those prisons and destroys them and sets the captives free. We've got another one now. Some became fools. Now, fool, we don't use that word in so much this day and age. But some became fools through their rebellious ways. Now, the word fool is often associated in the Bible with not believing in God. It says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. So, and actually, we have clever people in this world who say there is no God. They're not wise, they're clever. See, there's a difference. See, a clever person, you know, we think, oh yeah, look, he's got a triple degree, blah, 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 he's clever. There's no wisdom there, though. See, a fool is a person, perhaps without wisdom, who doesn't really have understanding, but may have a lot to say. See, and then you know, if someone comes to you and they can talk a lot about something and you know that they're talking a lot of rubbish, what do you think? Yeah, you know, you think, you're talking nonsense. And you're going on for ages talking about that. That's the fool, see, that's the picture is. The fool has a lot to say, but about nothing. They don't really know what they're talking about. And so when people talk that there is no God, the Bible classes them as a fool. And there's a lot of clever people in this world that are what we would say the cleverest people, or some of the cleverest, and they go on about there is no God. The Bible just says they're talking a lot about what they don't know. And one day, they come from a flat land and they say there are no mountains, and they'll be put in front of Everest, and then they will be speechless, because they will say, there is a God. And so we go, let's have a look. Some became fools through their rebellious ways. They suffered affliction because of their iniquities. It doesn't actually say what. The person who says there is no God, or has rebelled against God, or is a fool. But that's where I think it's gone. And then it says, I found this really interesting. They loathed all food. It's a strange one, isn't it? They loathed all food. They hated food. You wouldn't have thought back in those times that you would have even said it, would you? That they hated food. You know, you'd think perhaps in Bible times food was a very precious thing, that people would always want food. And here they are, the godless, the person who says there's no God, ends up in a position where they hate food. It's a mindset, isn't it? The mind has been affected. And we do see that in society now, don't we? If people come to a place where they hate food. They loathe all food and drew near the gates of death. People actually can bring death to themselves by not eating. You'd never think you'd have that in these times, but there it is. They've become fools. They say there's no God. And for some reason in their head, they hate food. Something's happened to them. They've been afflicted with something. They hate food. And they draw themselves towards death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. Something brought them to their senses. They cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. There was no one that could help them but the Lord. He rescued them from the grave. They were right on the door, right on death's door. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. That's what the response should be. And then I think it's one more situation. Others, I found this one an interesting one, because the other ones I could understand more. And this one, others went out on the sea in ships. I think they were just merchants. They weren't doing wrong. I can't see a wrong here. He's a bit like the man that I talked to in Wales. This is how I see this one. Others went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord. Then they traveled on ships. They traveled in the oceans. They saw whales and whale sharks. They saw the wondrous, these massive beings, these creatures in the water. They saw mountains. They saw volcanoes. They saw the world. They saw the wonders of God's creation. They knew there was a God. They saw it all. They saw the works of the Lord. That's what it means. They just saw what God had created. They were in God's creation. His wonderful deeds in the deep. So they saw big fish and the whales and various things. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest. Then they hit a big storm. And whether that's just, if we could perhaps say a storm in life, do you know sometimes you hit things and in a way you can minding your own business and you're just living your life and you hit trouble. It's not necessarily your fault, but you're just caught up in it. It's not, why God is this happening? Why is that happening? You just hit trouble. And it's out of your hands. They saw for he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. So now the ship's going up and down. An old wooden boat going up and down in those times. In their peril, their courage melted away. So they see the mess around them. Chaos around them. It's not necessarily their fault. They're just doing business. But the chaos around them causes them to sort of start panicking. Fear grips them. Help, what's going on? Not only does it grip them, they think they're going to die. Because you might think that in a little wooden boat in the middle of an ocean, that's massive storm comes. That's what I think I'd be thinking. We're going to drown. They mounted up to the heavens. So when the wave went up, the boat went right up. Then they went down to the depths at the bottom of the big sort of wave. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunken men. They were at their wit's end. You know, they couldn't. You're on a boat like that. You can't do anything about it. What can you do? Sometimes circumstances around you are beyond, you can't do anything about it. Oh, well, just do this, 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 and you'll be sorted. Some Christians sometimes say that, just do this, this, or people do, just do this, 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 and it'll be sorted. You've got this huge storm going, and you're in the middle of it. You can't, actually, humanity, you can't do anything about the storm. The storm is huge. All you can do is die. Jump overboard, drowned, let the ship get smashed. You can't do a lot, can you? Stick your life jacket on. They reeled and staggered like drunken men. They were at their wit's end. Ah, but you could do this. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. So when you see, sometimes you get a storm in life, a big storm in life, that you can't really deal with. You don't know how to deal with it. Sometimes the only thing you can do is call on the Lord. That's all you can do. He stilled the storm to a whisper. Reminds me of the story in the, when Jesus walked on the water and when he's in the boat with them and he says, storm, stop. That was another one, wasn't it? He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people. You see, one day, well, we are here and gathered together now to give thanks because he's redeemed us. That's what we're doing in the assembly of the people. That's what we're doing. We've come together because we have acknowledged that Jesus has rescued us from the storm, from the desert, from the prison. That's what we're doing. We come together now and give thanks. Even though sometimes we still get caught up in these things, but we give him thanks. But one day, we'll all be gathered together in glory, and people from down the ages who have been redeemed will all give thanks for his saving grace, and we'll all be there. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. And then it goes on to say the power that he has, that he can turn a desert into a garden or a garden into a desert. He has that sort of power, and we should praise him and acknowledge him because of what he can do and the blessing that he can bring. And I didn't really want to say too much more than that because I'm going to share communion. Because when I thought of this, when I was reading all this, I thought it was such good pictures of redemption. It was written for people that, you know, perhaps fled trouble and ran out into the desert. And some people were taken captive. So there's the physical, literal things that happen to people. But there's a spiritual dimension to it all, isn't there? That you can see that Jesus rescues us, he redeems us, he's brought us back by his sacrifice. And we're going to share now bread and wine together. And that's what we're doing. We are actually saying, thank you, Jesus, that you broke the chains that held me. Thank you, Jesus, that you set me free. Thank you, Jesus, that you found me wandering in the desert and you showed me a true shortcut back to safety. Thank you, Jesus, that I was in a storm of life and you calmed the storm. And that's what we're doing. And then I'd like to, and I haven't worked out how to do this really, I'd like to pray and I'd like to involve us, because I bet you all know somebody that you'd like to pray for that's in that place of lostness, in a storm, that you'd like to see restored. Maybe they've got to go through a storm. You know, maybe they've got to find themselves in that prison. But they, what they have to do, those people have to see that they are imprisoned, that they are in a desert place, that that isn't a good place. It's not a place of safety. And they have to call on the name of the Lord, don't they? So we have to pray that they would come into that understanding. So if I could share bread and wine together, and then and think about that, and like I say, I haven't quite worked out what we're going to do for praying for each other and those lost, those around us that we feel we want to see rescued. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. And that's what we want, don't we? We want them to come to the Lord, and we want them to be able to give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Thank you.